Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story, the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being a man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And about the difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. By the way, this verse for this year was God put on my heart before COVID. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. I think right now we need to pray for our country and for the election, and for what is increasingly apparent that they are going to try to do after the election. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the scenarios and tactics that are going to play out, that these are coming forward now. These were not found on Hunter Biden's laptop, for the record. Okay. But let's start with prayer. Father God, we just thank you for putting us in this time, for giving us the opportunity to be courageous and bold in this time. With your boldness and your courage and your strength and your wisdom, Lord. With your humility, Lord, and your unity of spirit. Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we ask right now that you would guide and direct our steps here in the days ahead. We thank you in advance for protecting your people, for protecting your kingdom against the communists who would wish to destroy it. And Lord, we just ask right now that you would show us the way forward in you, that you would shower us with your peace, you would shower us with your joy, you would shower us with your love. In the mighty name of your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Okay. Now, from the Frontier Daily Intelligence Briefing, I've got a whole bunch right now. Looks like something may be happening here in about 1 hour. So if it happens before 5 o'clock, we'll break it here on Patriot Radio. But this is a potential national news story, apparently. So we'll see if this breaks before 5 o'clock. And I'm sorry I can't say more than that because I don't know a lot more than that, but there's been a little bit of a warning put out on Twitter in regards to this occurring. I want to mention a movie. It's called The Plot Against the President, The Plot Against the President, which details the heroes of America that stopped the last coup. There have been several, but the most recent coup, particularly Devin Nunes of California. This details, I don't want to spoil it, details everything that has happened. It will open your eyes amazingly. Now, I'm going to get to this on the national front, but I'm bringing it up right now on the international front because people around the world are watching what is happening in America. And they're watching what is happening in America. And we are going to be a beacon for all those people around the world based on what we do in the next week between now and Election Day. And then our character is going to be tested. in the days to follow that. And so right now, I want to go to the Middle East. Al-Qaeda's number two was killed by Afghan special forces. Abu al-Masri, Al-Qaeda's second in command, was recently killed by special forces. This coming to us by Debka File. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said last month that fewer than 200 Al-Qaeda operatives remain in Afghanistan. Also on the international front, actually, I'll save that for what I'm going to give a list of what Trump's week has been like. I want to move next to Erdogan in Turkey. Remember, we've talked about this on the show. Watch what's going to happen in Turkey. Recep Erdogan is now speaking out against European countries. Okay, let me put this in a different way and perspective. Recep Erdogan is speaking against NATO, fellow NATO allies, okay? And the European Union actually came out and denounced Recep Erdogan's comment that his French counterpart, Emmanuel Macron, needed a mental health check. And that Erdogan was precipitating, essentially, confrontation and has called on the Muslim world to boycott French goods over Macron's response to the beheading of a teacher by a, guess what, a Islamic jihadi in France. Now, it's interesting, too, that Turkey is doing exploratory drilling for gas in the Mediterranean. This coming to us again from Debka File. And is intervening militarily in both Libya and Syria. So why is suddenly Recep Erdogan asserting himself as a voice for the Sunni Muslim world? Why? Because he thinks he is going to be anointed the next caliph and he is going to reestablish the caliphate in Turkey. There's a couple of important points with that. If the caliphate is reestablished, that means perpetual war against Western civilization and Christendom. Well, Matt, hasn't that been what's been going on? No, they actually mean it as a call to every Sunni Muslim to do perpetual war against the West. The Muslim Brotherhood spiritual leader, Al-Qardawi, has already said that Recep Erdogan is effectively qualified to be the next caliph. Recep Erdogan has turned the Hagia Sophia back into a mosque. It was a museum for decades, well, since 1924 or so. And he turned it back into a mosque. Why? Because the caliph can only be anointed in the Hagia Sophia, which used to be, by the way, a Christian church when it was Constantinople, and that church was desecrated. And this is a Christian show. The nuns and some of the men defiled on the altar of that church when the Islamic armies invaded. So these are big deals. These are big signals from Erdogan now that he is now somehow speaking for the Muslim world, and he is going to try to, what, foment unrest now in Western Europe? A NATO ally? Perhaps Turkey should no longer be there. Just a thought. All right, on the national front, couple of interesting things. First of all, the pollster who called 2016 for Trump has said again that he is going to win in 2020. And There are actually a couple of pollsters that were right in 2016. Trafalgar is probably one of the most noted. And then also this guy, Matthew Tiermand, who called Trump's victory in 2016, is saying he's going to repeat again. Now, I'm going to bring something up right now that I think, because this is interesting. It is clear Joe Biden's going to lose. It's absolutely clear right now that the laptops and also this Taiwanese billionaire now who have come forward with apparently thousands of pictures and videos, and not just of Hunter Biden, but apparently and potentially they are saying could include Barack Obama and Joe Biden and others, potentially others in Congress. With all of this, quite literally, Joe Biden himself now is, by definition, if they are that compromised, a national security threat. And so most people are understanding this. It's trending now on the internet search engines, how to change your vote. So, and it okay, that is a paraphrase. Okay, so somebody's going to say, oh, it's not exactly it. Okay, I got it. How to undo your vote, how to change your vote. It's clear Joe Biden's going to lose. Clear. Crystal clear now. Okay, so what is going to happen? What are they going to do? Well, they've come out with that. And I'm going to talk about that here in a second. But I want to just give you a picture of the last week with Donald Trump, okay? He had 15 rallies in 8 states. And this coming to us from a retweet by Rich Higgins of Scott Whitlin. He had 15 rallies in 8 states, one presidential debate, one Arab-Israeli peace deal, and talking about Sudan, one Supreme Court justice being sworn in, an Al-Qaeda terrorist, the number 2 actually of Al-Qaeda, was killed, and peace negotiations started in Armenia. Okay, and here's the thing, and he came out specifically against Joe Biden and said that Joe Biden is a diehard globalist. So what the powers that be are most afraid of is that. They're most afraid that Trump is going to thwart the globalist plans that have been out there for all these years. Why has it been so hard for there to be peace deals in some of these places? And now all of a sudden it's happening? That's interesting. It's also interesting that Rhino Republicans are now coming against Trump, even though he is actually living up to the party platform and doing more than any president in modern times. And I'm sorry to, you know, this is going to burst some people's bubble. He has actually done more tangibly, objectively than Ronald Reagan. More on the life issue, more on the defunding issue, more on the cleaning out of the deep state and the entrenched bureaucrats, the defense of the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms, the helping of Israel. I mean, all of these objective standards. So, of course, the powers that be don't like that because they're not in charge when he's doing this stuff. That's what's going on. And so this week in the life of Trump is absolutely fascinating because he is going around and in some cases having to fight his own people. It's crazy. So I want to bring this forward too, that there are, in this coming to us from InfoWars, there are special reports all over the place about Hunter Biden admitting that he worked under a Chinese spy chief. There are multiple reports coming out, and this coming from a Taiwanese billionaire again. So this is somebody that basically is very anti-Chinese about the connections between the Bidens and the Chinese. Okay, now, a lot of people don't understand, but the original Clinton impeachment issue, the original charges that were considered was bribery involving China and the Clintons. That was back then. And it's interesting that got dropped and replaced by the whole Monica Lewinsky thing. But the original charges that were being considered was bribery in regards to China. And there's been several books written about these connections in the sale of technology to China, including guidance systems and things like that you can read about in other people's books. But the point is that this connection to Maoist communists, this is the real collusion that these guys have been trying to cover up for years. This is the real collusion. This is what they have been trying to hide and deflect from. It's not, you know, it's not this ridiculous stuff about Russia that has now been disproven in regards to Trump. They were the ones who were actually colluding with the Russians and the Chinese, apparently. So, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us? So, first of all, they're going to lose the Bidens, Harris. They're going to lose. I mean, Hunter Biden, according to this InfoWars article, confessed a partnership with a Chinese spy chief and fumed after he and Joe were named as criminal witnesses. This is apparently caught on audio. Okay, so what are they going to try to do? Well, I'm glad you asked. Okay, there are. I've detailed before some of the things that these guys have put out in America, and I really want to go through this as a reminder. Okay, and remember, I traveled around the country here 2 years ago warning, this is before any of this stuff happened, warning about Antifa, Socialist Rifle Association, Redneck Revolt, the John Brown Gun Club, and these other Marxist organizations, that they were going to try to foment violence in America, and they were going to try to project it onto Christians and patriots. Also, the deep state assets inside the Department of Homeland Security were going to parrot this narrative, which is really a narrative that aids and abets our enemies, particularly China. And China has connections to Black Lives Matter and some of these other organizations. So we want to understand what their intent is so that we can thwart it again. Now, as I was talking about that, there was going to be this unrest leading up into and through the election. That has happened, but because conservatives and Christians got in the enemy decision cycle, and this is a military term, got in their decision cycle, they had to step back, take that dialectic step backwards, pause, and they had to reevaluate because it was actually beginning to go against them. They were actually losing public support because we were exposing this. And then all of you good Patriot Radio listeners out there were educating people on this, and it was a massive backlash. Okay, so now they actually want Biden to lose. This is what I believe. They want Biden to lose so they can use that as the impetus for what they believe is their Marxist revolution, the real revolution in America. Now, again, if they run into too much resistance, what's going to happen is all of a sudden, one day, it's going to stop like nothing happened. They're going to be totally cut off, and they're just going to stop like nothing happened and pretend, oh, you guys blew this out of proportion. See, we're good guys. We didn't really do anything. Yeah, you know, they're going to do this. pretend, and the media is going to try to cover for them, this pretend they're innocent shtick, and they're going to wait. They're probably going to wait to the end of the Trump presidency. The problem they have, and this is what they're weighing, their strategists are weighing right now, is if Trump is indeed president for 4 more years, he is going to put people in positions in the Department of Justice and other positions to root out the communist insurgency and the Muslim Brotherhood agents in America. And they know this. Those people are going to be rooted out, their funding networks destroyed, and they will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And oh, by the way, that is going to be very surprising who that is going to include, because it's probably going to include people in Hollywood and is probably going to include people in Congress. So they know that. They've got to weigh now. Do they just try to burn the whole thing down and throw everything right now? And according to audio that has been intercepted by groups like Project Veritas and James O'Keefe, the Bernie boys have said that if Trump is reelected, that the cities are going to burn, quote unquote. Okay. Now, this was caught on audio. It's not disputed. So they're telling what they may try to do, what their intent is. And so our job as patriots is to defend the Republic and to defend Christendom. And I use that term intentionally, Western civilization, from this Marxist onslaught, and understand what these guys are going to do. Now, Rich Higgins has published a series of tactics that they will use. Now, they're going to use tactics from the mini manual of the urban guerrilla written by Carlos Mirighella, a Brazilian communist, 1969. Was implicated in the kidnapping of U.S. ambassador and then later killed that year. If you go to the page 30 to page 40, essentially read through that, all the tactics are there that they've been using on the streets in America. Now, they're also going to use tactics of nonviolent resistance. And Rich Higgins has published these online. I am going to attempt to get these downloaded and published as well, so that you can see the tactics that they're going to try to use, and you can spread this to all your groups everywhere that love this country and our republic, because we don't live in a democracy. Hope we don't have to talk about that issue. This is going to include psychological operations. It's going to include information operations. And let me be specific. What does that mean? Those are all military terms, Matt. I don't know what that means. Okay. Psychological operations are trying to make it appear that what we know to be true is not true. That's what the media is going to try to do. Totally contradictory things, right? You know, I mentioned last week that they were trying to come out with this ministry of truth, right? Only it's not. Or, you know, they try to shut down the truth. A video, for example, yesterday put up by Trevor Loudon, they've almost eliminated it off the internet right now because it's the truth and he has all the primary source documents. Okay, so that's kind of a psychological operation, is the attempt to demoralize people. The information operation part of it is getting out false information, disinformation, or trying to censor true information that exposes what these people are trying to do. All right, so I'm going to put that up, but I would invite you all tonight, if you haven't heard about this yet, tonight in Post Falls, Idaho, the doors open at 6:15 at the Templin's Resort in Post Falls, Idaho. Templin's Resort, Post Falls, Idaho, 6:15. The battle lines ahead. Bill Jasper and Art Thompson are going to be there, outlining not just what these folks are doing, but more importantly, what should we be doing? What are the solutions to all of this? How do we not only educate people, but how do we activate people and get them involved? So This is going to happen tonight. Again, 6:15, the doors open. The official presentation starts at 7. And it's going to be out at the Templins Resort in Post Falls. Look forward to seeing you all there. Want to talk about a couple things quickly about the election. Okay, and by the way, I just want to give a shout out to Church and State. They did a great interview with Dinesh D'Souza last week. A lot of positive comments on that. I want to talk about voting very quickly. Okay, a couple of things. Don't send, even though you can, don't send your ballot back in the mail. Put it in a drop box to make sure it gets counted and is not postmarked after the election day where it doesn't count. Number two, you can go on the Spokane County election website and track your ballot to make sure it is actually counted. So I would encourage everybody listening to the show today to do both of those things and make sure that your ballot counts. There has been an exposure of fraud that has occurred, alleged fraud up in the northwest of Washington, where some ballots were not counted. They were postmarked after the day, even though they were dropped a few days before. Also, Democrat campaign literature was wrapped around those ballots. So this has happened. We, the governed, exposed that. And to mitigate all that stuff, in other words, get away from the margin of fraud. Mitigate the issue. Don't let the referee decide the game, as my dad used to say. Turn your ballot in early and turn your ballot into a designated drop box, okay? Usually these are at libraries. You can look it up on the Spokane County Elections website. Also, if you need recommendations, I've posted those up. It's very simple. Don't listen to the rhinos of Spokane County. Don't listen to the groups that have worked with the Marxists. Go for the candidates that support the vision of the people that have elected Donald Trump once and are going to elect him again. Go for that, the folks that are supporting that vision. And that vision is freedom and liberty. That vision is a God-honoring, restored constitutional republic. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And also, if you get the chance, you get the opportunity, go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US. You can also follow me on Parler, Podbean, iTunes, and this show is replayed across the entire ACN network in Eastern Washington, North Idaho, and Northeast Oregon at 9 o'clock in the evening. And share it with your friends and family. Get them educated. Get them on board as patriots in this region. All right, my guest today is Bob Marshall. Bob Marshall served in the Virginia General Assembly for 26 years as a Republican legislator. He actually left without the smell of smoke on him, which is a badge of honor. He also was a congressional aide to three members of Congress. And he and a colleague actually devised the original 1976 Hyde Amendment, which cut off Medicaid abortion funding. Bob was also in the House of Delegates. He was the author of over 50 pieces of legislation that actually turned into laws in Virginia. He is very well respected because he actually won a Virginia Supreme Court case with a 7-0 decision in 2008. And he is a very pro-life advocate, which we love on this show. Bob Marshall, thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
Matt, thank you very much. I'm doing better now that I'm talking to you on a topic that you and I are most concerned about.
Absolutely. So let's talk about this. There are some people out there today who, even though they might consider themselves a conservative Christian, conservative Catholic, conservative evangelical Christian, but just Trump is not the guy. We can't get behind him. You know, there's just too many problems, and he really isn't as pro-life as he says. I'll just kind of hand it over to you. And also, if you could tell the listeners a little bit more about yourself, too, and some of your experiences dealing with the deep state years ago that Trump is dealing with today.
Well, in Congress, I actually work for a pro-life Democrat. I know that sounds odd, but that was allowed in the early 1970s. He couldn't get in the front door or the back door at this point. I had additionally devised the marriage amendment in Virginia, overrode the governor's objections, banned pornography. I used to take on the social issues. Most of the Republicans didn't want to deal with it, but I thought I had a calling to work on it, and I did that for 13 years. I normally was outspent. I was in a Democrat district and eventually lost after 13 terms. So I'm not sorry. I wouldn't change any of my votes. And I'm here to help people understand where we're going. And it's not a very nice place with the Marxist Democrats. And if they're not Marxists, they are a very good imitation. I'll just say that. The immediate threat that you and I face, and anybody who takes Moses or Christ as their exemplar or model for what's right and wrong, whether it's an institution or an individual, is a bill which passed the House of Representatives by 227 to about 173. Only 8 Republicans voted for it, 173 voted against it, but every Democrat that was there voted for it. So this is a straight, basically, party-line vote. That bill went over to the Senate, where Mitch McConnell is sitting on it. Now, he received a letter initiated by Tammy Baldwin, a state U.S. Senator from Wisconsin who's openly homosexual, demanding that McConnell take this up. One Republican signed it, and that's it. What does this bill do? It is anything but equality. And this is how it gets into very nefarious business. Now, Trump said he opposed this bill, and Biden said he wants to sign it within, God forbid, the first 100 days that he is president. What it does, the mechanism by which it operates, is it takes the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and it adds the phrase sexual orientation and gender identity, which are very subjective. There's not really a serious measure in there that anybody, you know, can look at it. I guess it depends on what a judge feels like on a certain day, how he or she will decide. But nevertheless, it states that churches and healthcare providers are public accommodations. And what is a public accommodation? That traditionally, from the common law in England, was either an inn, or hotel, or a restaurant. And if you held yourself out as a business to feed people or to give them rest overnight, you had to take everybody unless they're going to tear the place up. So that's the false, I mean, it's an illicit definition, but they're putting churches in that in order to prosecute them and persecute them out of existence. I'm not exaggerating that. The effect is as follows. If you are a public, in a class of public accommodation, you have to accept anybody who comes in. Now, that normally is okay if you're a restaurant, again, unless somebody's going to tear the place up. But as applied to churches or healthcare providers, if someone comes in and demands that you do an abortion or a sex change operation, even if you're a kid, without the protection that currently is in law of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, you have got to do it now, which means no independent medical judgment on the part of the nurse or the doctor. You have got to do this. And if you are you're a Christian school and you want the teachers to reflect the moral understanding of the Ten Commandments or the natural law, whatever, you could not refuse to hire a teacher who applied for a job who thought they were married to a person of the same sex. That would be the unjustified discrimination, because now you are a public accommodation. So you've got to accept everybody that comes in here. And the homosexuals uniformly, I mean, they're very shrewd and smart, and they've gamed this thing out. they use the term you should be welcoming. I can agree with that, but the welcoming has two levels. Every church in the country, unless it's something I've never heard of, welcomes sinners. If they didn't welcome sinners, nobody would be in there. I mean, nobody. What they don't do, or what they shouldn't do, and the Orthodox ones don't, of whatever denomination, they welcome the sinner, but they're not going to welcome the sin. Now, the Equality Act wants you to welcome the sin. In other words, the homosexual behavior, which was problematic and condemned in the Old Testament and condemned in the New Testament, even though Jesus didn't do it. Jesus picked St. Paul to be his vice regent and to apply the moral teaching. Now, unless you're willing to say Christ made a mistake or St. Paul wasn't faithfully transmitting the revelation given to him, you shouldn't be, you know, talking about this, because it was condemned, and St. Paul condemned it by authority given to him by Christ. So to say Jesus didn't do it is not the end of the question. However, they don't want to stop there. If you are a religious institution and you want to build a church and you don't want to accept the behavior of the individuals or participate in an abortion, when you go to get a bank loan to extend your school, to build a parsonage, to build a new church, you're going to be asked a question: do you comply with all provisions of the Civil Rights Act as amended? Well, if this thing passes, Christians are going to be in trouble because you will not be able to get a loan. And it would be like the Klan applying for a loan to build a clubhouse for their activities of burning crosses and humiliating people because of race or religion. But that's the status of this right now. So religious schools are going to be set up for great amounts of litigation. And the fines that occur here range anywhere from $50,000 per incident to $300,000 per incident. So if you're a larger organization, it's $300,000. So let's say you're a school that has 200 students, a Christian school, and you've got about 20 people working for you, the office personnel, the teachers, and just everybody. There's a job opening for a math teacher. Somebody comes in, they're dressed in drag, and they apply for the job. And you say, well, I mean, are you going to a party or what's going on here? They say, oh, no, I'm a guy married to a guy. And you say, we don't allow that. Okay, that person leaves with a rejection slip from you. Another person comes in from the same homosexual organization. If 10 people do this, and they're all told by the principal or the headmaster or whatever that, you know, we'd like to do this, but you don't fit the job description here. You've got to live, you've got to walk the walk here. Each person will file a suit, and I'm sure this will be done in concert, to sue the school for $50,000 in punitive damages. That does not include the compensatory damages for the cost of their lawsuit. So when you go to court and fight them, and let's say you end up with a Trump judge initially at the district court and you win, you can't claim any damages against the homosexual advocates here, but they can claim them against you. That doesn't sound like equality to me, but that's the way this law is structured. Moreover, the tax-exempt status of the school will be gone as much as if you decided to not admit children of the same religious denomination who were of a different race from the majority of the kids there, because the designation of sexual orientation, gender identity, places all the churches who do not accept this behavior in the same social legal position as an outpost of the Ku Klux Klan. You're no different. That's why this is very dangerous. Moreover, if you do not provide accommodations for transgender students, such as integrated showers or changing areas or bathrooms, that is the form of discrimination that will also get you in trouble each time you've got a student who attempts to use the bathroom of the opposite sex as opposed to the biological sex of which they are a member. So this gets more and more problematic as you go along. The Catholic bishops issued a statement when this passed in 2019, said, look, this is going to place the First Amendment at great risk of freedom of speech, association, conscience, and religious exercise. If there's a charitable service that adopts children out, a mother who left a child wanting to adopt the little boy or girl into a Christian home, the man and a woman won't be able to do that. And in fact, the adoption agency will lose its ability, its license to place kids for adoption, because you're not complying with their intentions of don't discriminate. Now, Matt, everybody discriminates, and it's not invidious or bad. Let's say that you're head of a school board, and you need to hire school bus drivers. You put out a requirement saying, look, you have to have a good driving record, no alcoholism, and if you don't, we're not going to hire you. In other words, you're drawing a line and discriminating against people who don't fit the safety qualifications for the job. So discrimination goes on all the time, but the proponents of the Equality Act want everybody to think these people are just a bunch of racists. It's not that kind of picking sides. It's what you don't want to be involved in. That is the problem. The Heritage Foundation said this would give the federal government power to impose punishments on citizens who dissent from the sexual orientation, gender identity ideology, including medical professionals, parents, women and girls, businesses and charities. The bill labels talk therapy to address gender dysphoria as a form of discrimination. So if you're a parent and you've got your kid in a government school, which I don't advise anymore, and they're being propagandized to pursue this transgender or homosexual behavior, and you try to get a psychologist to help your child to get out of this, you won't be able to, because the psychologist will lose his or her license to practice psychology because they're trying to keep the boy or girl in a heterosexual path. So they've got you coming and going. The Family Research Council also notes that you're going to have to hire somebody for a job who's completely ill-fitted. The National Right to Life Organization looked at the Equality Act and said this can be construed to create a right to demand abortion from health care providers and likely would place at risk the authority of the government to prohibit taxpayer-funded abortions. And I think you mentioned it. In 1973, a colleague and I devised the original Hyde Amendment. That has been the law, and it cuts off federal funding for Medicaid abortions. That has been the law since 1976. Now, this year, Biden, who says he'll sign the Equality Act, and Trump will not, says he switched on the Hyde Amendment. He wants to compel you to pay for the homicide of children in the womb. See, the goal of the Equality Act is to present you with a circumstance that either makes you suffer punishment, monetary or other, losing your job, or you become an apostate to your faith. Now, Matt, those are not good choices. The third choice is out there, but they're not talking about it, is don't vote for anybody who would vote for the Equality Act. And if you didn't even know anything about anybody, if you go in and pull a lever for a Democrat, you're committing suicide for the church you belong to, or the school that you have your children in, or the job that you have, because you're going to be subject to sexual attitude restructuring. And let me tell you how this is going to work. This is going to go so far down that if your son or daughter is given a test in school and asked which of the following correct pronouns, he, his, him, or she, you know, I don't even know what all these things are, and your kid answers according to the conventional understanding of a male pronoun for a male, and you're going to be brought in by the school supervisor or the vice principal and say, did you teach your children this? And you say, well, what's the real problem? Because you are now in a public setting. You are going against the current understanding of what it means to discriminate, and you're now going to be guilty of this kind of discrimination. You're going to be fined. You'll be told to take a sexual attitude restructuring course. They'll expel your kid. And if you have your child in a private school and they resist employing people like this or having transgender people, kids in there, the school will lose its ability to qualify as satisfying the compulsory attendance laws of the states. It would be like you're playing hooky or truancy every day, and the parents will be involved as complicit in facilitating truancy. That gets to be a jail sentence at some point. So, I mean, none of this is what I would like. I'm not manufacturing any of this. These are simply the intents of the bill. Now, the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee in the House, now, mind you, so far this has only passed the House of Representatives. It went to the Senate, and like I say, McConnell is just sitting on it. Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee offered several amendments to prevent this from becoming the draconian mess that it's intended to be. One of the amendments was, okay, females, biological females, may not be mandated to compete against biological males in sports. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? And a lot of people send their have their kids get scholarships to go to school because they're too poor otherwise, but their daughter has athletic abilities against girls, that is. That amendment failed. The next amendment was it would shield healthcare providers from affirming an individual's gender identity. So if you're a doctor or a nurse and you say, okay, this kid's coming in here, you know, spouting back the story he got from a homosexual advocate at school, claiming that he or she is transgender and wants me to give them puberty-blocking drugs. I'm not going to do it, either medically or because of ethics. You now can't do that because you'll lose your license to practice medicine. And then what do you want to do? Put your kids out of, you know, the private school, or do you want to maintain an income? You're going to be faced and confronted with these demands that will impact on your personal life. Now, the next item was to allow the parents to direct their children's medical care. Why do you need that? Because otherwise, you have a social worker or a school psychologist who's, you know, bought into this same-sex notion. They're going to be recommending that your child takes these puberty-altering drugs or even surgery. I'm not exaggerating. I wish I were. And you have lost the ability to say no to your daughter or son being experimented on by these sexual radicals. Very bad. Now, the last amendment that they tried was the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And what that was, it was a law passed in Congress to kind of govern the operation of any circumstance under federal law where there's a conflict between a claim by a plaintiff and a defense by a church that you can't compel us to do this. In other words, this violates our religion. You can't do it. So the Religious Freedom Restoration Act was passed in 1993. The main sponsor at that time was, of all people, Chuck Schumer. The sponsor in the Senate was Teddy Kennedy. Everybody was for this. Now, why was this passed in the first place? To back up, it was out in one of the western states, maybe Idaho, that some Indians were attending a religious ceremony in which they partook of peyote, and this was apparently centuries old. They weren't doing it and driving on the road. This is their sacrament of, you know, whatever. It's, I don't do that, but these people did it. This went to the Supreme Court, and the Indians probably thought, well, the First Amendment protects the free exercise of religion. Our religion just happens to have this peyote as part of a sacrament. They couldn't depend on the First Amendment because they were denied the ability to receive unemployment compensation, but they had to take a test. You had to be drug-free, and they weren't drug-free, of course, because they took peyote with this Indian religious ceremony. That led to the passage of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And now Section 1107 in the bill states the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 shall not provide a claim concerning or a defense to a claim under a covered title or provide a basis for challenging the application or enforcement of a covered title. So the coy and, I would say, demonic advocates of this bill don't want you to use that as a shield because they want to compel you to break your conscience or to put you out of business. So that was, unfortunately, that is where we are because, like I say, a couple of Indians thought the First Amendment would protect them and their exercise. It didn't do it. So this Religious Freedom Restoration Act shield will not be there to protect you. And that is only the beginning. I don't know where this will end, but if you go out and vote for any Democrat at this point, you're really asking for serious trouble with your religious liberties and the integrity of your family and the security for income that you have, unless you're going to be bought lock, stock, and barrel into submitting to this. And this is exactly what the pagans want right here.
But now, we got about 4 minutes left, and I really want to hone in on this, because really what you're talking about is they are headed toward institutionalized persecution of Christians in America. So please complete your thought, and also where can people go to get information about this and learn about it for themselves?
Well, if you're familiar with a website called LifeSite News, they published my entire article there, and I explained this in pretty good detail, and you can find out what it is. So what you do, you Google or Joe Biden, Christian persecution, and my name, Robert Marshall. The article will come up. You need to read this and share it on Facebook or however you share these things with everybody you know before they vote. You have got to understand what is going on here, and you've got to make distinctions, because if you don't, distinctions will be made for you, and you're not going to like it. Again, apostasy or persecution, neither is an acceptable or helpful path to choose. The third path is, don't vote for anybody who will vote for this bizarre law, because you're committing religious suicide. You're committing suicide for your First Amendment rights. You're damaging your family's integrity and their faith. And in fact, the judgment of people who put their trust in you is going to be gone, because you said, oh, it doesn't matter if I vote for Democrats or Republicans. This year it does.
Absolutely, it does. And I think that that's why we're going to see a turnout that is the greatest in this generation, something we've never seen before. And we're already starting to see, at least here in Washington state, the numbers are incredible. Now, there are some people that are still reticent about the president, and they say, oh, well, he's not really as pro-life as he says he is. I mean, really what we're talking about right now is the survival of Christendom. And, you know, America is the shining light on the hill. And if we don't stay lit, what is going to happen to the rest of Western civilization, like France? My goodness, how far along are they in the deterioration of their country and Western civilization? So in the last 2 minutes we have, Bob, if you could exhort pastors, exhort priests that are out there listening to the show today about these issues and why they should be using their pulpits to talk about it.
Let me request that they look or think about the parable of the two sons. One was asked by his father to go out and do something, and he said no, but later on he went. That is, his actions followed the father's wishes. The other son said, yeah, I'll go out and do it, but he didn't do it. Now, the son who followed the father's wishes, not the one who gave him lip, but then still went out and did it, he's the one you have to work for. He's the one you have to vote for. Look, I don't like all of Trump's tweets, and of course he's flamboyant. You can call him a narcissist. King David was criticized for a lot of things, but he was there to do the will of the Lord. You've got to pick somebody whose actions you can measure. And actions for Trump, he has done everything pro-life. And again, I helped Ronald Reagan do some things. Trump actually cut off funding for Planned Parenthood. He can't do all of it because he's got to get the support of Congress, and the Democrats run the House part. So you have got to look at the policy that is being pushed and not feel queasy at the personality who's pushing it. If you vote personalities, you are becoming a respecter of persons in the wrong sense, and that is condemned in the Old Testament. You've got to respect and follow the principles, the moral principles. Who's the one that doesn't want to get babies dismembered and will try to do something about it by appointing justices? Trump, not the other way. Biden won't even tell you if he's going to expand the court. I mean, this is how slippery this guy is. And he flipped on the Hyde Amendment in this very year. You can't trust him except to do the wrong thing. So please, you must pray about this. Think about it. And again, if Trump just rubs you the wrong way, vote for what he's going to vote for and do, not for your dissatisfaction with his personality quirks.
Couldn't have said it better. That excellent, excellent summation. Bob Marshall, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. I really appreciate your voice as a pro-life advocate and just unceasing. I mean, you've been doing this almost as long as I've been alive. So I just appreciate you so much and your wisdom as well. Thank you very much, and keep up
the
fight.
Thank you, Matt. Bye-bye.
All right. Bob Marshall, he is a former Virginia assemblyman. that is the equivalent of a state legislator here in Washington State. He served 26 years. He and a colleague devised the original 1976 Hyde Amendment to cut off Medicaid abortion funding. Fierce pro-life advocate. I'm posting right now his article up on my Facebook page from LifeSite News. You can go there to LifeSite News. Just type in Bob Marshall and Christian persecution. And he lays out the case very succinctly that what Joe Biden is advocating is quite literally, through this Equality Act, persecution, institutionalized persecution of the Christian church. It cannot be said any other way. It cannot be diminished. That is what this is about. And Bob goes through there very logically and points out why we as Christians need to stand up this election and defend Christendom, defend Western civilization, and most importantly, defend life, innocent life in the womb. All right, I want to end the show today by reminding you, tonight, 6:15, the doors open, the event starts at 7, Templin's Resort in Post Falls, Idaho. Templin's Resort in Post Falls, Idaho. Art Thompson, Bill Jasper, the battle lines and the road ahead, going to be talking about not only what we're facing, but more importantly, what the solutions are. Again, at Templin's Resort, 6:15, the doors open, 7 o'clock is the main event. Look forward to seeing everybody there. Now, if you haven't voted, vote. Get out there and vote. Everybody, get out there and vote. Politics is a mission field. We need to stand up. This is one way we can help defend a God-honoring, constitutional republic. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you and keep up the fight.